Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name's Dan.
Today, we are all the way through A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers. Finished the book, but warm up time.
Yeah, we're getting warmed up.
We're getting off of pheromones.
We are bringing in a hot take here, Luke. We haven't had a truly hot take in a while, I don't think. Something that's really spicy. This one's spicy, and I'm just going to lay it out for you right now.
Okay.
Modern Christmas movies are much more similar to pornography than anything you would see in a movie theater.
Okay. Can you lay that take out a little bit more for me? Because
what do you mean? It's not obvious?
Are you saying that there's more sex in modern Christmas movies?
No. What I'm saying is they are artistically closer. As a product, they are closer to pornography than they are to something that you would go see in a movie.
Okay. I think I see what you mean.
Let me lay out the case.
Yeah.
Okay. When we're thinking about these two things, right, the things that are being shown in a movie theater are very, like, there's a lot of diversity in what's going on there, okay? Like, there's a lot of diversity in how those pieces of art are trying to make you feel. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're trying to make you feel sad or happy or give you a laugh or make you think about the human condition in some meaningful way, right?
Sure. Yeah,
they are usually have a pretty big budget, so they're spending a lot of money on a big production. They are like employing people who are like at the top of their craft, like people who are well-known actors that are like people know them if you saw their face, like if you saw them out in public you would recognize and know them, right? Pornography is not like that. There is a very small subset of people that recognize those actors. Okay. Additionally, that's produced for a very narrow sensation that it is trying to elicit in you. Typically lower budget. It's a very niche community.
Sure. Yes.
Hallmark Christmas movies are that.
Okay. Like, I see your point.
Like, I get that the subject matter is different here, but they are much more, like, there is a lot more things that they share than, like, I don't know, any movie that was released in theaters. Also, here's the other thing. Christmas movies don't have to have a reasonable plot. Right? You don't go into a Christmas movie unless you want to laugh about it and joke about the fact of how absurd it is of the plot that they have contrived to put these characters in a certain situation, just like pornography. Right? It's about putting characters in a very particular situation. It doesn't really matter how they do that.
Right. And okay, are you saying this is specific to modern Christmas movies?
Yes, because I think the genre has really, I think in like the last decade, maybe a little bit less. No, about the last decade, this has been the move with Christmas movies.
I will say for Christmas movies, and I feel like we might have done rant at some point.
Yes, we did.
I have not like really engaged with a recent Christmas movie in a while because I feel like there hasn't really been, and like I've tried maybe a couple times and it's always like I'll rewatch Elf.
And I think this is also due to the fact that because of the volume of these things, I think it is more likely than not that a Christmas movie somebody recommends to you is not a good movie. it is a movie for you to feel like Christmas, but it's not like a fun movie watching experience. It's just like, hey, do you want to have Christmas nostalgia? Watch this movie.
Yeah.
That's like it. And I don't care about that. Like, that's not something I'm going for. So because yes, Luke, there are some that skew the mean a little bit more towards like good movies, but the vast majority of these things are just excreted out of a tube,
right,
and put on TV. And I'll say another similarity to pornography. There is one specific channel you can go to see them 24/7.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a valid point. And I think I agree with the way that you've presented it.
Good.
In the way that they do have similarities.
Good.
I like a Christmas movie. I don't like the I agree with you. I haven't seen a modern one in a long time.
Right.
But I do like occasionally having the little Christmas nostalgia.
Of course. Of course. A movie. Hey, there's nothing wrong with moderation, Luke. You know what? Every now and then, if you want to throw one of those on in the privacy of your own home, be my guest.
That's right. Which I do. I do want to do that. Yeah.
That's great. Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Oh, man. Although it's kind of like, being adult is weird.
Okay, Luke, let's transition to talking from about adult films to being adults.
This is actually going to be being adult during Christmas. And I do think it's being an adult during Christmas is kind of part of the paying it forward side of things.
Okay.
Where it's like, I feel like when you're thinking back, because like Christmas obviously feels less magical as an adult than as a kid.
Correct.
Like everything does. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately, yes. And I feel like people wonder and they're like, man, Christmas doesn't still have the same magic. And I think it's because adults made Christmas feel magical to kids, right?
Correct. Yes.
And so like, unfortunately, now it is time for us to pay it forward and be the ones to make it magical rather than experience the magic.
You're saying we've reaped the benefits. We have relished in the fruits of someone else's trees that they have planted, and now it's up to us to go plant some trees for other children. Well, not us specifically, Luke, because we don't have children, so we don't have to do any of that. And I imagine, too, like, I hope one day to have a child, at least one of them. And, you know, I'm sure it would be kind of magical to be like making the magic, right? I think that could be fun.
Yeah, could be fun.
It's also, I don't know. It doesn't have to be magical either Christmas to be like movies? Fun. Sure. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not modern Christmas movies.
Right. Not for the kids.
Yeah. This is for children, you know. Maybe the old ones.
Yeah.
There's so many. Luke, I thought about this for so long the other day because there's just so many reasons why the like Hallmark Christmas movie thing is just like porn. It's just like there's so many reasons. Because like if you think about older Christmas movies, they were about more than just like a holiday feeling you wanted to inspire in someone.
Right.
But like oh man. It's just not it anymore. It's just a product.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try one out this year. How about that? I'm going to give it a shot.
I will probably watch one because my partner likes to watch a lot of Christmas content and inevitably that makes it to Hallmark. We'll see. We'll see how it is.
We'll see. Okay.
We'll report back after the new year with any Christmas movie updates.
Get excited for that.
Yeah. That's going to be an explicit episode though. Don't let your kids listen to that one.
Obviously. Never listen. Yeah.
No kids allowed.
No Kids Allowed to our Christmas movie discussion. Okay, let's talk book.
Yep.
Again, finish the book, A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet.
Yep.
Do you have anything early in this one?
I have something kind of early. It's about the prison. It's about Corbin going to prison.
Okay, I actually have something related to this, so go ahead.
Okay. I just... So, the Quellen capture Corbin because he's a clone, and they take him to prison. And through this, we learn that the Quellen use, like, prison slave labor to mine rare materials for all their circuit boards. And this is the first time where I was like, oh, okay, this is where the shitty part of the galaxy is. Like, this is where, like, it all seemed too good up until this point. And I was like, what? This isn't real enough. Where is the real part? And then they talked about this, like, prison slave labor providing this, like, rare material to everybody. And I was like, yeah, that's it. That sounds more like the real world. This place could exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true, because this whole book has been very positive.
Yeah.
In a way that feels a little bit artificial at times. And this was a reality check, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
My note about this is that I'm having a hard time coming up with the philosophical position on cloning in relation to this book, where, like, I feel like a lot of the little mini stories in this book are, like, kind of philosophical questions.
Interesting. Okay.
That are often, like, there's an obvious answer to or something. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that I feel like it was not obvious necessarily. And I kept thinking, I was like, so is cloning really bad? Because it seems... Everyone seems to think it's really bad in this book, right?
I think
generally, yes. You probably shouldn't clone yourself, I think. But, like,
you're asking why.
More just like...
You're taking the brave position more, to ask why.
Yeah. It seems less, like, super immoral and more just, like, narcissistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it leads to a lot of, I was going to say it could lead to a lot of problems if you get a maniac who just wants to clone himself as much as possible, but that person could just have a bunch of children and it's the same problem.
Right. But then you also still have to, like, raise them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly. Okay, here's the thing.
The cloning doesn't make them identical to you right now.
Okay. Here's what I think this story would argue about cloning. Okay. Here's why I think the characters are against cloning. Because the characters in this book are all about, like, the dignity of every sentient being, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of the time, when you clone somebody, it's for a purpose. Like, it's to do something. Like, it's a person as a means to an end, almost. You're like, you're like trying to recreate yourself in some way. It's like very narcissistic, or you're trying to create like an army of clones to fight the robots in an incoming civil war or something. Or like there's you're creating a person for a purpose. It feels like you're creating a person for a purpose. Whereas the natural way, with a little bumping and grinding, is more often just like creating a person for their own sake, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair. I also think it would be very hard for people in general to look at and treat a clone as like a full person.
Yes, yes, for sure.
And I feel like maybe that's what it is to me. Is that, like, you are, obviously in this situation, no one knows he's a clone.
Yeah.
But, like, if everyone knows that you're a clone, like, I feel like it's very, Like, you're just automatically setting people up to be second-class citizens or worse.
Right.
Right?
Right. I think the problem with this, though, Luke, is they're going to have a really hard time when they encounter a species that can reproduce asexually.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's probably one out there, guys, and then you're going to have a whole can of worms to untangle. They might even be worms, so.
Yeah.
Who knows? Because, yeah, I think it's largely a cultural thing. Like, it's largely a cultural expectation about what clones are.
Right. Right.
Especially, especially considering, Luke, that, like, we don't know how what the genotype is of all of these aliens. Like, we don't know how much genetic material they get from each parent.
Yeah.
A lot of these aliens could be mostly clones. We don't. It doesn't have to be like 55-45 like it is with us.
Yeah.
Because the why. Because the why, Luke. You know? It's a little bit less in the why.
You wanted to show off.
I wanted to be.
You're like, it's not 50. I know that it's not 50-50, which I didn't, to be fair. I did learn something new when you said that.
Only if you're a boy, though. And it's definitely not 5%. That's insane. But anyway.
Anywho. Okay, I actually, there's another one. Moving on from cloning.
Yeah.
There's another little philosophical question, I think.
Yeah, this is about the virus.
Which is about the virus. Yep. And whether or not you force the meds on Ohan.
Yes. I do want to talk about this. Before we get there, I do want to mention that the only religion in this entire galaxy that we've seen so far is this virus thing. And it feels a little bit, I don't know if this is the author being like, yeah, we'll overcome all, like, religion will disappear when we get to this point. But the fact that nobody else has a religion feels strange to me.
Well, do you count the like humans that are like super into Earth? Is that a religion? I forget.
It doesn't feel like a religion. I mean, it kind of is, but there's not like a deity that they're worshiping.
Right.
They just believe that the Earth is sacred. I guess you could say they're sort of worshiping the Earth itself, but to just be like, there's, all right, fine, we'll give you that. There's like two religions.
Right.
Everybody else is like, that's not a thing anybody else talks about ever.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah.
anyway, yes, we've got this decision about this injection to kill the virus to cure Ohan. What is it? Oni?
Ohan.
Ohan? Yeah. This, I feel like the characters take a position on this that is wrong, actually.
Okay.
So the characters take a position that it is Ohan's choice whether or not to be injected. And I think that they're correct in this.
Okay.
I think where they're wrong is that they think it's inevitably better for them to be injected.
I see.
And
I see.
Here's why I mean that. They only know Ohan as a pair. Their friend is Ohan the pair. Mm-hmm. To say that their friend is not Ohan the pair is to say that you are friends with a body. Like, that's not true. You're not friends with a body, as we see from the crisis they all go through when the AI dies. You are friends with a sentient, like a consciousness.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to do what's best for your friend, Ohan the pair, it's not killing them, which is what would happen if you gave them the virus, because that transforms who they are. Like, they lose their identity. Their identity becomes dramatically different after you inject them.
Yes. Two things. Number one, I agree with you and our crew that it is up to Ohan. In fact, I put my note is that I think it's, to me at least, it feels obvious, like obviously the correct decision not to force the meds on them. I think where it gets a little bit iffy, to your point, is that the alternative is not Ohan the Pear continues versus Ohan transforms into the other person.
Correct.
It's Ohan the Pear dies
versus
Ohan transforms.
And this is where it gets a little bit more tricky, yes. But I will say Ohan the Pear, their friend, is expressing a real religious belief that they don't want to be mutated. They don't want to be manipulated and mutilated in this way.
This gets somewhat to your point about religions not being really a thing in this. And also, like, I feel like a lot of people that are not religious don't really understand religion.
Yeah.
And think that, like, people that are religious don't, like, actually believe it. And, like, no. They're, like, Ohan the Pear believes in the things.
Yes, correct.
They're not just, like, performing the whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they, like, grew up in that culture. No, I mean, they actually believe this stuff.
And both can be true. And if you're their friend, it is only polite to recognize that you differ, but also recognize that their beliefs are valuable and to be respected.
Right.
And the other thing about it, Luke, because like there are human beings every day that make medical decisions based on religious beliefs.
Right.
Like around blood transfusions and all kinds of stuff. Like everybody's going to die at some point. Like Ohan is not going to live forever if you do this thing. And if this, I don't know, like this feels so selfish for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let him die feeling satisfied in his belief. Granted, it becomes more complicated here because the virus itself is influencing their behavior. But again, the only Ohan they know, the person that they are friends with. Friendship, here's what it does. It really flattens out what friendship is. Because, like, you are not, you're not friends with Ohan's body. You're friends with Ohan's identity, the thing that talks to you.
Yeah.
Respect that, please. Otherwise, like, friendship is just proximity. Otherwise, it's just like, well, you're on my ship, so you're my friend, I guess.
I mean, to be fair, they're, like, kind of not really friends with Ohan. And I don't know what I mean by to be fair in this circumstance, because it, like, doesn't actually make their decision, like, better or anything.
Right, right.
If anything, it makes their decision worse. Or not their decision, but, you know.
I mean, this is true. They don't ever really interact with him. They don't know a lot about him. He doesn't join them for dinner. They're polite to him. Yeah, maybe this is showing how they aren't actually friends with Ohan in the first place.
Right. It feels like, I feel like what they want and what does end up happening is super selfish. I mean, the way that it's presented what's his name again? We keep forgetting this guy's name.
Ashby?
No. Corbin. Okay. So Corbin, like, injects them, because he essentially wants there to be not another death.
Yes.
And that's very selfish.
It's so selfish, yeah.
But I also feel like there's like a little underlying thing where they're like, we don't really want to have to find a new a new pair.
This is gonna be really inconvenient to find a new young one.
We'll have to put out like a, you know, job posting, get to know a new person.
Well, they could just hire a slave one, right?
True. Yeah.
Because apparently that exists. I forgot. That was the other thing that we forgot when this world was more real, is that you can just sell people.
Right. Right. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned this earlier that you saw the structure that the author put out as like philosophical. And I think that that's partly true, but that's interesting because I also saw a clear structure that this author mm-hmm. has, but it was more about like showing how much the crew cares about her, like each other. For me, that's what I saw the structure was doing, was like having a crew member that had a problem and showing how the like crew would come together to solve that problem or like resolve that specific character issue. With like Kizzy had an issue and then she went and did the bomb thing, and it wasn't even really about the bomb thing, it was about her talking to Pei to learn about how to deal with stress. And Rosemary had the issue of kind of being attracted to Sizzix, and then they got together. And Ashby had the issue of like, well, maybe not Ashby, but like Jenks kept having the issue with Lovey and trying to navigate how that was going to work between the two of them. And it felt like, and Corbin has this issue about going to prison, and then Sizzix, they have to resolve their fight. Like the story starts with this crisis. There's a bigger thing that happens, and then they resolve the bigger thing and also sort of the crisis that they were having at the beginning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think that probably encompasses, is more encompassing of all of the events. Yes, yeah. I think that's probably better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think there's some of them that are like, that are a little bit more of philosophical questions.
No,
like
for sure.
The cloning one, the Ohan one, the AI thing.
Yeah.
The like, how do you treat like Rosemary?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The relationship. But I do think that the way the author intends it is probably more along the lines that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What did you think of the little, I think they're called the Toremi, which are the
mm-hmm.
aliens that are in the core that we have this interaction with?
I mean, these guys are all psychos, right?
They are quite, yeah, yeah. They're definitely psychos.
Just like,
I found myself like, again, I think maybe it's because of this, the structure of this book, as we've talked about,
yeah,
is like short little, like mini stories almost.
Yeah.
And I found myself like a little bit unsatisfied by the Toremi storyline at the end.
Yeah, I agree.
Was your
sense that the one that dissented is the one that blasted them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was my sense as well. But also it sounds like there's a lot of conflict in how they just run their society. Like it's confusing how they run their society because they're all trying to be in agreement. And if they're not, they like fight to the death about it.
Yeah. I couldn't quite tell if it's just like a purely the strongest wins thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's kind of how the like natural conclusion of what they talk about is.
It feels that way. Yeah.
But it didn't necessarily seem like it was always about like fighting ability on an individual level.
Right.
So I do think there's a little bit of persuasion involved.
Like the new mother doesn't seem like they're the best fighter out of everybody.
Right.
So how does this work, guys? What are we doing? How do we suddenly decide that they're right?
I feel like it's basically just an extreme version of like how consensus gets made.
Yeah.
Where just like violence is so much more normalized for them. But like it's not actually, it's an order of magnitude thing. It's not like a difference in kind necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. That's democracy, you know? That's just democracy.
Yeah, this is
it's coalition building, you know?
That's right. But they do, okay, but they do end up getting shot.
Can we also, they get shot, they get shot as they're going into subspace.
Yeah.
We really need to talk about, like, the fact that Ohan is so sick and they were about to do, like, a 7-hour subspace drive.
Right.
Where they need Ohan. Like, if Ohan dies before they get done, they all die. Like, they're none of them are getting out of subspace.
Well, I think that if they hadn't gotten shot by this, it would have been way easier. Because it was, like, one of those anchored ones.
But don't they still need Ohan to direct them?
I think to some degree, yes. I'm not really sure why the getting shot actually affected it that much. No, I think what it was like the, it like messed up the anchor.
Yes, it did. Cause they were going from, there was an existing gate on one side that they were going to, like they knew their destination.
Right.
But I think they still needed Ohan to like navigate them through the subspace to drop down the buoys as they were going through.
Yes, I think that's true.
And so my point is, like, Ohan is about to die. It seemed like part of the tension in this bit was, is Ohan going to survive this entire thing?
Right.
I get that it's a little bit more stressful, so it was a slightly more dangerous here. But if there's even a 10% chance that my guy is going to die in the middle of this thing, I'm getting another one as a backup.
Yes, this is true.
Like, if I care about my crew, I don't want us to be lost in subspace for all of eternity because our navigator died in the middle of it.
Honestly, this extends to the whole crew, actually.
Hmm. Okay. What do you mean?
They do not have, like, any redundancy.
I will say they've got 2 techs.
They have 2 techs. But everyone else, there's only 1 of.
Sure. Right. But they don't really need Rosemary, so.
They don't really need Rosemary. They don't really need Ashby.
Correct. He's just the money.
He's just the money. I don't know how hard it is to be a pilot, necessarily.
It seems like it would be hard. I feel like it'd be really hard.
But, like, not as hard as Ohan, right? Like,
yeah.
And then Corbin also seems critical. I don't really understand why.
Right. We don't really know how algae becomes fuel, but sure.
But like, if something happens to one of those 3, mm-hmm. let's say, or the like most critical.
Yeah.
Other than the techs, like they're kind of screwed, right?
Okay. I think Ashby could do either of those 2 jobs passably, like to get them to a port.
Which of the 2?
I think either of them. I think he could do, I think he could do the like algae stuff, like enough to get them to a port. It feels like that would be, come on. It can't be that hard. And then like driving, it's just like hands at 10 and 2, baby.
Right.
Like you're not going to win any ace pilot awards, but you're gonna, maybe you're not gonna be able to parallel park it, but you could pull into a space.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But I feel like Ohan is the one that there is no substitute for.
Yeah. And he's the one, they're the one that's currently like in, they're doing a jump. They're doing a big jump.
Yeah. And they are knocking on heaven's door. Is what they're doing. Yeah. They are knock, knock, knocking. They're about to pass over the Rainbow Road bridge, whatever it is. Maybe just 1 backup would be good.
Yeah.
They were literally at a spot. Hold on. They were literally at a spot that had a bunch of these guys.
Again, this is why I feel like they wanted to inject Ohan, where they're like, we're actually going to need you.
It's actually really convenient that you retain all your cool math abilities when this happens. So
I forget, did they learn that Ohan was sick. I mean, I knew that the doctor knew ahead of time.
The pirate thing.
I forget if Ashby knew already. Was that before they had decided to make this trip?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember. But it was definitely the pirate thing is when it came out to everyone. But at that point, they were already committed.
Yeah, yeah. So they didn't know. I do feel like that was important information.
Yeah, you got to disclose that.
You got to disclose it. Well, also, I mean, on the other hand, you should be able to do some math, folks.
True. You just have to ask, hey, when were you born again? Okay, carry the one. Account for the leap year. Uh-oh.
It's a risk. It's a big risk.
That's space, though, Luke, you know? That's space.
That's right. And the margins are thin, Dan. They can't afford another crew member, I guess.
No, because they must be paying this Ohan guy a lot. What is he using the money for? What is he using the money for, Luke?
Haircuts, I think.
They do that themselves.
I don't know.
What are they spending this on? Especially given that they know that they're going to die in like a year.
Right. There's no retirement. You don't need to put away
for
a retirement plan.
What's the money for?
I don't know. I'm worried that Ohan is a slave,
wait a minute. How did they get Ohan?
Oh, no.
This is why Corbin injected him. Injected Ohan. Yeah. They don't want to lose their asset, their most valuable asset.
No, it's really important.
Oh no.
All right. I have a small note.
Okay.
So we do need to circle back to the AI stuff.
We're going to, yeah.
But after the AI gets reset.
Yes.
Jinx like goes up to and like thanks Kizzy, right? And they have this kind of heartfelt moment.
Yeah.
And Kizzy has this big kind of speech about how Jinx is actually her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all these things that she says. And this speech makes no sense. Because I don't think she knows what a brother is. Like all of the things that she says, it's like, okay, but that's just a best friend.
Correct.
And she's like, no, you're not my best friend. You're my brother.
Correct.
And then goes on to talk about like how like brothers are always there for each other and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's or siblings, I should say.
Yeah.
And a lot of different things that are like not what a brother is. Like, that's just a really good do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. She also talks about it like they will always be there for you. And it's like, no, that's not true.
Like, a lot of brothers are not.
Yeah, a lot of brothers aren't. Also, like, there's a lot of family members that do shit that's like, oh, our relationship is very different now that you did this thing. It's not unconditional. That's not an unconditional pass to just do whatever the fuck you want. And like your family will always support you. And like,
no,
you're right. She doesn't know what a brother is, which makes sense because she's never had one.
A brother is a biological sibling. Like, that's what it is.
Correct. You need to find new language, Kizzy. This is an example of where you just need a different word for what you're trying to explain.
I know that this is a small thing and I'm being nitpicky on this, but like, you're just describing a really good friend.
Correct.
And I don't know why this bothered me so much, but it did.
I will say it bothered me too. This like putting familial relationships on this pedestal feels a little bit...
Yeah.
Not great, especially considering it doesn't feel real to like a lot of families. Like a lot of families, they don't talk to other parts of their family. And like,
yeah.
Yeah. Come on. But, you know, Kizzy has never had a brother, so she doesn't know.
True.
It's her ideal picture of a brother.
Yeah.
It's the platonic brother, you could say. Okay, we do need to talk about AI, though.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. There's a lot here with this AI. And the first thing that I got to get out of the way here is, like, Jenks, if you're going to commit this hard to an AI girlfriend, you make an offsite backup. I don't know why you wouldn't have made offsite backups regularly.
Right.
Of this person that is so important to you, and you have the capacity to beam their consciousness to a storage device anywhere else. Like, dude, what are you doing? You don't have to turn that device on. You can just have it as like a little storage thing somewhere.
Yeah.
Have Pepper rig up like a hard drive in her house or something. But like, come on, you make a backup every week. What are we doing? This is your soulmate.
But then if you do that, you have to confront the fact that this is not a person.
Yeah, it's better than a person, Luke.
Right.
It's better than a person. Yeah. You can tweak the parameters so that they're your ideal romantic partner.
Right, and you've saved the game.
And you've got quick save, so if you make the wrong dialogue choice, you can go back and load the previous save.
Right, if we have a fight and I say something wrong, I can load the previous save. It's better.
It's better than a person, Luke.
You do have to have it, yeah.
You have to. I feel like this is in the back of Kizzy's mind as she's like, when's Jenks going to tell me about the offsite backup? Come on. Get over it, bud. Just load in the quick save.
Well, the other thing is, so what ends up happening, right, is that they actually are able to recover essentially all of the files in some way.
Yeah.
But the pathways are slightly different.
Sure. Yeah.
Somehow. And I just have to think that maybe it would have taken a long time. But like, it is all circuits. So like, if you have it all, you could probably get there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think.
Like, shouldn't you? Because, okay, they're like, we don't know. Like, if you do a hard reset, there's a 50-50 chance that the new version just decides to not take those files.
Correct, yeah.
And, like, I don't think that's true because you could just tell the new version to take all the files because it's a computer program.
There has to be some way to force boot into the old files.
Yes. What do you mean there's a 50-50 chance?
How does that happen?
How could that be?
Luke, it's actually really complicated. There's just a bunch of like ones and zeros, and it's just computers, you know? It's just computers. That's what happens when you try turning it off and turning it back on again. Nobody knows how it.
Right. There's a 50-50 chance that you lose everything when you turn your computer off.
Yeah. Yep. Golly. The other thing about this, Luke, Lovey mentions this interesting little file that she's got that she's hidden from Jenks. Do you remember what's in that file?
So it's like all of their conversations, right?
It's a log of everything they've ever said to each other.
Yes.
She's hidden this from him and tells him, oh, no, I only have it for you. Don't worry.
Right.
It's just this one, and it's just our conversations. And hey, listen, I just want to make it clear that I loved you from the very second that you installed me. Sorry, this is not love. This is an AI that's been programmed to tell you it loves you, Jenks. This is a problem.
It is a problem. It's a huge problem.
Especially, okay, Luke. Especially considering that when they reboot Lovelace up, if that were true, good news. She's already in love with you, Jenks. Problem solved.
This is true. Yeah.
Just, yeah. Hey, wipe those tears, bud. Just do exactly what you did the first time you installed her, and problem solved. You're back, baby. Go on some new adventures.
It's very... it feels very silly to me.
It's a computer, guys. Come on.
Okay, so here's... Let me tell you my note for this. This is one where I feel like the author has very clearly come down on the side of AI, conscious AIs, or people, essentially.
Yeah.
Because like all of the characters act this way. All the characters do not act as if Jinx is doing something really embarrassing. And then like Ashby, I think, like, has a note here where he's like interacting with other people who say that they like, at least no one was hurt, right?
Right, when he's at the council. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, wow, you don't even think AIs are people.
It's like, wow, you guys are
you guys are bigots.
You guys are racist.
Hugely racist.
My AI died. Like, we had to turn it back on again. It lost 3 years of its life.
And so it's presented to us, the reader,
yeah,
as like the obviously correct again, this is one of those philosophical positions that I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
It feels like it's presented to us as like the correct one.
Yes.
And here's where I'm going to try to bring this into a weird thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's often correctly in other books done with like racism, for example, or like other types of bigotry that are real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those, obviously, I agree with them.
You agree that they should be racist?
That the author is correct in criticizing the racism.
Oh, okay.
Or bigotry that's in those books.
Yeah.
And in this case, I'm on the other side of it, and I'm feeling like, is this what, like, actual racist people feel like when they're reading a book?
Oh, interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if they read that often, and maybe this is why. Maybe this is why.
Fair point.
I don't know, Luke. You know, it's hard to put myself in that position. Probably.
Yeah. Probably.
Okay. Can I say, though, this is bringing up an interesting contradiction that I didn't realize until just now.
Okay.
So Lovey, quote unquote, dies because they have to reset her.
Yeah.
The hardware is all still there. She's got the same name. She's only lost a few years, right?
Yeah.
But she's going to go back to, like, she'll probably develop in a very similar way to the one that she's not going to be the same. But she's going to develop very similarly.
Yeah.
So Ashby takes this as the AI has died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're going to fuck up Ohan's brain and that's totally fine?
Well, that's... Yeah, but Dan.
Sorry, how is that better?
To be fair to Ashby... Ashby was against it.
Sure.
Well, okay. Ashby was against forcing it on Ohan, I should say.
Yeah, but then Corbin did it, and Ashby doesn't treat Corbin like a murderer. He treats Corbin like a, well, you did the right thing, bud.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Ashby's like, I have to be mad at you for optics, but I do agree with what you did. It's clearly what happened here.
Right. Right. Sorry, bud. Why does the AI get more of your sympathy than Ohan's truly held religious beliefs and identity? You're a bigot, Ashby. Ashby's a bigot. Ashby's a bigot who was hoping that the AI could get a sexy body because he also had a secret chat log with the AI and it loved him too.
Right.
And now he's got to rebuild his girlfriend character from the very beginning and go through the decision tree, and he's got to start all over, and he's really annoyed about it.
It's very frustrating. His chat wasn't saved. I'm a little bit bummed that we never got the physical description of the AI body.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, it can't.
Do you think that they were like unrealistically large breasts?
Can you imagine the one that Jenks asked for? Give me tiggle bitties and a dump truck.
There could be nothing more embarrassing than having that revealed.
I also, right? You know, here's the moment it happens. Okay, Lovelace is like, yeah, I'll go with you, I'm gonna leave. And Pepper's like, okay, great. And she pulls the body out and it's just like a caked up like stereotypical sex doll body. And Lovelace is like, wait a minute, oh, this is what they wanted me to go into? This is the body they chose for me? Actually, fuck that guy, I'm staying on the ship.
I just want to see. I want to see what they chose.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's got to be... Oh, boy. But we'll never know, Luke. We'll never know. The other thing about that that's crazy, Luke... So, and this again comes back to the fact that it's a computer. What are we doing? Lovelace, they're like, if you stay on the ship, it's just going to be really awkward for you and Jenks. Like, he's going to be really upset to hear your voice throughout the ship. And like, it's just not going to be great. Hey, maybe instead of buying a new AI, you just change it from the default settings so it has a different voice. Give it a new name. Say, hey, your name's not Lovelace anymore. It's Tim.
Dan, that voids the warranty, okay?
It's software. This is a computer. Pick a new voice. I don't... Ridiculous.
It's so funny to me. There's the time when they're kind of all like, yeah, we sort of knew Jinx was kind of weird about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, they feel really like Jinx feels like he has lost like the love of his life. Mm-hmm. Right. Like this, we are at the point where genuinely like you can feel bad for Jinx.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Because like going back to our previous discussion about believing people's religion.
Yeah.
Like I will actually believe that Jinx views Lovey this way.
Yes.
Sure. And feel bad for him because of that.
Yeah.
However, I think that the crew had some obligations before we got to this point to intervene and be like, hey, you are in a what's the term I'm looking for?
AI induced psychosis.
Yes, you are in an AI induced psychosis, and we should talk about this because it's not a good road to go down.
Actually, like, I talked to Lovely about this, and she said I wasn't in an AI induced psychosis, and this is totally normal and cool. So I think we're good here.
So actually, back off. Yes. No, but I agree that we should feel bad for Jenks at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But someone should have intervened with him earlier.
God, maybe. Even the point where Lovey's like, hey, I actually didn't want to ever go into a body now that you mention it. Like, I was kind of doing that because you wanted me to.
Yeah.
Red flag. Yeah. Red flag, guy. For like, maybe this AI is just telling you what you want to hear.
Again, going back to my note from the first episode, I don't know how I would have responded to this book 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But it would have been different, probably.
Definitely. Should we do short reviews, Luke?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do some reviews. Mm-hmm. I can go first this time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the book. I thought... Again, I felt of it as more like the structure of it, as we've talked about, is a little bit more like a series of little small adventures, mm-hmm. Which was kind of nice. I think that some of them I would have liked to see more of, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have liked to stay on the world with the Cianot pears that had been
cured.
I would have liked to stay there a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to hear more about the Torimi and like how that goes down. But overall, like I had a good time. I did appreciate the like kind of optimistic nature of it, mm-hmm. and like positive relationships that everyone seems to have, mm-hmm. other than Jinx and the AI.
And them obviously. Sexually harassing Corbin.
Yes. Overall, I'm like fairly positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree with a lot of what you said. I like the positive tone. It's nice for a change.
Yeah.
It's nice to be sort of optimistic that the future spacefaring civilization might not be dystopian.
Right.
Might be fun. Reminds me a little, actually a lot of Firefly, the sci-fi TV series. The nature of the like crew and the episodic like sort of stories that relate to like crew conflict. Very like a lot of Firefly vibes, which I fuck with. I think at times, and we talked about this on air, but I think at times the optimism felt phony to me. Like, I think at times it felt like the author was showing her hand too much with like trying to make it optimistic. And it felt like that took away from it a little bit, because it had me in moments being like, yeah, this is like, these characters are not that realistic. It like took me out of the story a little bit, because it was just like, this feels forced.
I do think that like some of the way that the characters act towards each other is like, yeah, didn't feel like a real relationship.
It's sort of too, it's sort of utopian in a way. Like it's everybody's kind of too nice to each other, I think. Granted, there's some small conflict on the ship, but the fact that Sizzix is actually like, yeah, I will take on this racist asshole as my ward to get him out of prison. It's like, well, would she though? Like, this guy is using slurs against her.
Right.
And like, just because he's on your ship doesn't mean you have to like do him this huge favor. I don't know. Like, yeah, it feels at times it took.
Well, that one was interesting because like that one, I feel like they should have set the time period longer to make it, because like 1 year, it's like, that's actually not that long.
No.
Kind of. So I feel like that one actually does make sense. If it was like 10 years or something, it'd be like, you can stay on this
right.
penal colony, actually.
Right.
But no, I agree with your point that like, a lot of times the things that they say to each other and the way that they interact are too positive. Like even when we see like, when they go to that, to what, Cricket, I think.
Yeah.
And like everyone just like gets along super well immediately. And I don't know. It just, it does. There is like, these are really positive. And I like reading that because I like positive things.
Right.
But it does not feel like how real people would interact.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I'm jaded. Maybe I'm too cynical. Maybe this is more real. Maybe it's just like most books aren't written this way. but aside from that, it was fun. I thought the story was engaging. I liked the fact that each of the stories, like the episodic, like the events that happened did influence each other. Like Kizzy had to deal with the feelings of anxiety from the pirate attack that happened before. And like, I appreciated that it all sort of worked together, to tell the story, which was nice. But yeah, I just felt like sometimes it was a little bit it was a little bit heavy handed with the like, everybody's really nice and things are okay.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree.
But otherwise, yeah, fun stuff. Luke.
Fun stuff.
We're taking 2 weeks off for the holidays.
That's right. It's Christmas time, folks. Watch some movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we're coming back with what book?
We are going to read The Color of Magic by Terry Pratchett.
A classic.
A classic. The first book in the Discworld series.
Right. So get ready for a 40-book series that we're going to be getting on the pod. No.
We will be reading them all back to back. No breaks.
No breaks. 2 books an ep. Get ready.
Yeah, but we will be doing Color of Magic, I think, in 2 episodes.
Yep.
It's a little bit shorter. That'll be beginning of January, right? So again, we're taking 2 weeks off. So I think that one should come out, our episode on that, the first one should come out on January 8th.
Mm-hmm.
No homework for the next 2 weeks for you all.
Well, read the book.
Right.
Of course.
You get some extra time to read the book.
Yeah. You can enjoy some time, reading. Enjoy some holiday time, but be sure to do this project over the break. Get it turned in by the 8th.
That's right.
And we'll be back. Class is back in session January 8th. We'll be bringing the hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.